pressure. 7 billion people in the world trying to fit in. Keep it together. Smile on your face even though your heart is frowning. But hey now, you're no good. Another day for your dreams, girl. I'll be your hover. You could be my destiny's child on a singer. So don't stress and don't cry. Oh, we don't need no wings to fly. Just take my hand. As long as you love me, we could be starving. We could be homeless. We could be broke. As long as you love me.
My hallelujah. Give me a time and place. I rendezvous it. I fly to it. I beat you there. Girl, you know I got
Happy
you.
Thursday, everyone. It's almost Friday, and this is DJ Sugar on Sweet Juicy Talk on radio.dominican.edu. I hope everyone is having a good day so far. The weather has definitely chilled out, but I enjoyed the warm weather that we had the past couple or more like 2 days. It was only like hot Monday and Tuesday. Yesterday was somewhat chill. It wasn't even warm. But now it's like windy and cold. So enjoy the weather. But today I have a great show for you. Justin Bieber's mom is dating. Who's she dating? I'll let you know. Chris Brown broke up with his girlfriend because why? And breakfast food. If you're always on the go, these are the breakfast foods that you should not get. So that's important because as college students or just as adults, we're always on the go and we just grab anything and we don't really think twice of it's healthy or not. And when it comes to relationships, how do you know if you're in love? I don't know. Well, maybe, but everyone has a different reasoning of if they're in love or not. So that's coming up. So let's get started with our celebrity gossip. First is Justin Bieber's mom dating the host of The Bachelor. I've watched The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. The host is Chris Harrison. And he is the one playing matchmaker for The Bachelor. Apparently, Ryan Seacrest took it upon himself to set up the popular host with a date Tuesday night with Justin Bieber's mom, Patty Mallette. And a picture is right in front of me, and I think they make a cute couple. I mean, she's young looking, and I mean, he's not too bad looking. So they're cute together. And I guess apparently they hit it off. She tweeted saying, "I had a great night with at Chris Harrison. Thanks, Ryan Seacrest for setting it up. And Chris also tweeted, huge thanks to Justin Bieber, Patti Millette for an incredible night, huge cool dad points, great show. So they definitely hit it off and they look good together. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think Ryan Seacrest did a great job. So I hope for the best for those two. Moving on to Emily Maynard. She was the Bachelorette the last season. And apparently there was a fake romance with Jeff Holm, who was the winner that she chose him, obviously. But it will be a heartbreak for Emily's daughter, Ricky. So as Us Weekly reported September 26th, Bachelorette winner Jeff Holm bragged to former flame Kaylee Shepherd that his relationship with Emily Maynard is basically for TV. But as the two continue their fomance for fame and money, it's Maynard's daughter, Ricky, who's 7 years old, who will suffer when they split. Holm has been coaching the girls' soccer team while making sure to tweet photos of her to his 265,000 followers. On September 26th, he tweeted another picture of Ricky, calling her his gem, along with a shameless product plug for headphones. Find out more on Maynard and Holm are pretending to be a happy family with Ricky in this week's Hot Stuff video. You can check it out on Us Weekly. And yeah, it's definitely going to be a hard situation for Ricky just because she thinks it's real. She thinks that her mom and Jeff, you know, they're really together and they're going to live happily ever after. But in reality, you know, the couple is just doing it for the fame, money, and that's not fair to Ricky just because the story, Ricky, like, her biological father died. And so, you know, Maynard is just, you know, dating, and it's just a weird, like, position to put your daughter in, you know, dating all these guys and you choose one, but, like, really, like, he's not going to be your father. Like, I think that's just kind of messed up. I feel like Emily needs to step it up and be a good mom, like, be real. But I don't know what to tell you. But that is the story for The Bachelorette. Sad story. Another failed marriage. You know what's new. And the last celebrity gossip is Chris Brown. He broke up with his girlfriend, saying, "I don't want to see her hurt over my friendship with Rihanna." So Chris Brown chose to break up with his girlfriend of over a year, which is quite a long time if you think about it. His ex-girlfriend was Karrueche Tran. On Thursday, the day after he was caught with his arm around his ex at a Jay-Z concert in Brooklyn, the singer announced he decided to be single to focus, or he quotes, "decided to be single to focus on my career. I love Karrueche very much, but I don't want to see her hurt over my friendship with Rihanna. I'd rather be single, allowing us to be both happy in our lives." Although Brown's focus on my career excuse is a good one, just because his new album just came out, it seems he instead wants to focus on Rihanna. And that's what I think too. On Wednesday night, the two looked cozy at a Jay-Z concert at the new Barclays Center. In a photo posted on Twitter, Brown had his arm around Rihanna's chair, and the two reportedly mingled in a VIP area with Beyonce. The day before, the 20-year-old was spotted leaving the Gansevoort Hotel, where Rihanna has been staying after a night of, quote, kissing and hugging at the Griffin nightclub. Following Brown and Rihanna's PDA, Tran posted a photo on her Twitter of a special delivery that was sent to her hotel room in New York City. White roses, teddy bear, and Godiva chocolates. After getting mocked by her followers for being clowned intentionally and a laughingstock, she deleted the picture. On Wednesday, she flew out of Manhattan and tweeted, "Bye, baby." So yeah, I definitely think that Chris Brown is just, he is definitely not over Rihanna. I mean, I don't know how long Chris and Rihanna went out for, but definitely, like, they loved each other. I know the whole situation where, you know, he beat her and all that. But he's definitely not over her. So he had to break up with his ex-girlfriend because he just wants to stay friends. I think he thinks that his friendship with Rihanna is definitely a lot more important than, like, you know, his girlfriend or trying to develop a relationship with his girlfriend. But, like, you can't really develop a relationship with someone if you can't get over another person. That's just my thinking, I guess. But if you're just tuning in, you are listening to Sweet Juicy Talk with me, DJ Sugar, on radio.dominican.edu. I just wrapped up my celebrity gossip of Chris Brown and The Bachelorette. Actually, I didn't realize I had two stories from, like, The Bachelorette, the host and, like, the, I guess you can call it, the contestant, whatever. And Justin Bieber's mom dating or had a date with the Bachelor's host. So that's that. I will take a quick break, but when we come back, I will be talking about your skin needing to breathe, which needs to happen a lot, actually. So don't go away.
Through
Welcome back to Sweet Juicy Talk on radio.dominican.edu with your host, DJ Sugar. You can catch my shows Thursdays, 4:30 to 5:30. So, we will be talking about, or we are moving to a beauty, fashion beauty. And I found a really interesting article. Does your skin need to breathe? And I think it does need to breathe, obviously. You can't always cake yourself with makeup and, yeah. Basically, I've been letting my face breathe. I haven't worn makeup for the past week. I've just put a little bit of mascara, but I don't put like foundation, I don't put any eyeliner, blush, any of that. So my face has just been kind of somewhat makeup free for the most part. So we all know Lea Michele. She is an actress in Glee. She plays Rachel Berry. And she says, quote, "I care more about letting my skin breathe than how I look." And that's true. I think you don't always have to wear makeup to look good. Sometimes people use makeup to cover up, you know, blemishes and, you know, acne. And I think the reason why, like, acne and those blemishes don't always go away is because you just cover it with makeup. And I think if you, you know, take some time off to not wear makeup and just, like, let it breathe. Like, those acne will go away. And it's true. Like, I've, you know, it does work. If you don't always put foundation, your acne will clear up. So the first question is there any truth to the idea that skipping makeup makes your skin healthier? There are some benefits to wearing zero makeup, especially for people with sensitive skin or who are prone to breakouts, which is me, by the way. The biggest culprit are the fragrances, allergens, preservatives, and oils in makeup, which can cause blotchiness or acne. But as long as you remove makeup properly so it doesn't clog your pores, you should be fine. If you wear makeup, wash your face twice daily, or more if you work out, with a facial cleanser, and if needed, exfoliate to get off any heavy layers of makeup. And that's what I actually do when I do wear makeup. I wash my face in the morning with my cleanser, and then I use clarifying toner. And then at the end of the day, like before I go to sleep, I use a facial cleanser. And then I use the clarifying toner again just to make sure, like, everything is off. So that's my, like, routine. The next question is, can skin actually breathe? The top layer of the skin is dead, so it doesn't breathe. When people talk about skin breathing, they're usually referring to whether the skin is occluded or not. Occluding the skin can cause pimples, whiteheads, or blackheads. It can also cause skin to look dull, especially if a heavy amount of makeup is applied and not removed. The lower living layers of skin get their oxygen and nutrients from the blood supply or from what you put in your body. That's why when you eat and drink is at least as important as what you're putting on your face. And that's definitely true. I've noticed, like, my change in diet, like, the more I eat, like, fruits, vegetables, and drink a lot more water, you know, my skin tends to clear up a little bit more versus when I just eat, like, really oily and fatty foods, I start to break out more. My face has become more oily than usual. So it is true, like, what you eat and drink, you know, is as important as what you put on your face. Because acne can, I mean, they say, like, oh, food doesn't cause acne, but it does cause acne. It's just not makeup or just touching your face. It's also what you eat. The last question is, did makeup used to stop skin from breathing? Over time, cosmetics ingredients have varied. For example, a small container of ointment that was more than 2,000 years old was found in South London in 2004. It was made of animal fat, starch, and tin oxide, and probably used as foundation. I wouldn't want that on my face every day. You can imagine how that combination could occlude pores, cause acne, and become rancid very quickly. So, yeah. You need to be careful of what you put on your face. Makeup is fun and all, and it's good to put it on, but you gotta let your face just take a breather. Like, it needs, and plus, like, everyone, every girl is beautiful, and it needs to be shown, like, their natural beauty. So makeup tends to hide the natural beauty. So I think every girl should be proud of, you know, how they look, and let their face breathe. So if you're just tuning in, you are listening to Sweet Juicy Talk on radio.dominican.edu with me, DJ Sugar. I just talked about letting your skin breathe, and, you know, skip makeup sometimes. It's good. And plus, it's not always a hassle. As I know, makeup can be a hassle, like, you know, putting on foundation and putting eyeliner, and it's time consuming. And if you skip that step, you save a lot of time. I actually did that this morning. Usually when I put makeup on, it takes me like an hour to get ready. But now I cut down 30 minutes. I got ready. I showered, just did my hair, put my clothes on. I had time to make breakfast and make my lunch. So that skipping makeup, it's a good thing sometimes. So moving on to fashion, what's definitely in is printed and patterned jeans. I've definitely seen a lot of them, floral prints, just different types of colors. I wouldn't say plaid. Plaid is a patterned jean, but it's not in. The first print is Flower Power. So it's floral print, basically. So basically, I just repeated myself. You can have a gray base, so like gray jeans, and then on it with floral prints on it, like pink, maroon, white colors in floral print is cute, actually. Next is Starstruck. So it's basically like just blue jeans. I would say faded blue jeans and stars on it, white stars. So, I mean, you can wear that since the presidential election is coming up, or the debate. Actually, I did watch the debate last night on YouTube. I missed it on television. But the sad part is I fell asleep watching the debate. It was, I guess, maybe I was half tired and it was half boring. I mean, of course, like, I'll watch the debate, but it's just, it's basically all talk. It's, you know, nothing new, nothing out of the ordinary. But I would say Romney did a good job. Obama did a fair, you know, job as well. But I say Romney definitely took it last night. But back to jeans. Yeah, definitely wear those star printed jeans. Next is Crazy for iCat, which is basically like, it's blue jeans and it's the shape of a cat's ear, pointing up. It's definitely hard to describe, but it has a really cool pattern to it. Next is a polka dot party. So it's like, you can wear red jeans, and it's white polka dots, and it's really cute if you wear it as skinny jeans. And it's actually funny because they're showing me a picture right now, and you can buy it for $198. Really, am I gonna buy a pair of jeans for $198? No. But I do confess. I confess that I bought coral jeans. It's not even, I guess, jeans or pants, whatever you want to call it, for $140. You can knock me out on that for saying that, to not buy $198 pair of jeans. Don't buy a pair of jeans for $140. I guess I just wanted to spoil myself, but at the same time, I know I could have bought it somewhere else. But I still wear it to this day, and I love it. The color has definitely stayed. It has not faded. So I guess that's a good thing. The next is Pretty in Pastel. It's white jeans and with light blue flowers on it. It's really cute. I don't know if I would wear it though. Next is Wild Thing. And I guess you can figure that one out, is cheetah print pants. But it's not the color of cheetah, it's the black and gray one. It's cute, but I wouldn't wear it myself. It's not my style. And next is Snakeskin Overload. So it's just the prints of snakeskin onto jeans. You can wear it metallic or in like a pinkish color or red, which is actually really feisty looking. Wow. It's called Red Snake Pattern, and it's $108. That's crazy. Next is Simple Spots. It's just basically, actually I can't really tell. Oh, it's blue jeans and blue polka dots on it. You can't really see it. It's just very camouflaged. Lauren Conrad designs it for $33, which isn't too bad. I don't know if I would wear it though. Next is Fit for a Queen. They say purple is the color of royalty, and if you rock status print jeans, you'll be nothing short of a queen. Wow. It's really a queen royal looking jeans. It has that elegance pattern to it. I don't like it, but some people do. Next is Catcall. It's on a creamish pinkish like combined base with cats on it. And it's weird looking. It's not even a cute looking cat. It's like a Siamese cat. That's weird. And next is White Stripes. These are actually really cool looking, but I would never pull it off. It's basically just white and I guess I would say really dark blue stripes. It's pretty cool. The last is Modern Art. It's somewhat tie-dye looking, but it's kind of like just you put paint all over your pants, different colored paint. It's artsy looking. I wouldn't wear it though. We are at the top of the hour, and quick news from Fox News is 5 dead as rare U.S. meningitis outbreak grows, more cases expected. Another fatality from a growing outbreak of a rare form of meningitis was reported Thursday, raising the death toll to 5 people. The type of meningitis involved is not contagious like the more common forms. This type is caused by a fungus often found in leaf mold. In all, 35 people in 6 states have been sickened from a steroid that was distributed to 23 states, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said. All received steroid injections used mostly for back pain that have been traced back to specialty pharmacy in Massachusetts. The pharmacy issued a recall last week and has shut down operations. Health officials suspect the bacteria may have been in the steroid. Investigators said they are still trying to confirm the source of the infection. Cases have been reported in Tennessee, Indiana, Virginia, Maryland, Florida, and North Carolina. Tennessee has by far the most cases with 25. Many of them were treated at the St. Thomas Outpatient Neurosurgery Center in Nashville, which had 2,000 vials of the suspect lots, the largest number. That clinic voluntarily closed last month to deal with the investigation. Dr. Robert Latham, chief of medicine at St. Thomas Hospital, said a patient died there late Wednesday or early Thursday, bringing the number of deaths in Tennessee to 3. Deaths were also reported in Virginia and Maryland. More new cases are almost certain to appear in the coming days, and Tennessee Department of Health Commissioner John Dreziner. 5 new cases were confirmed over the next 24 hours, he said Wednesday, calling the situation a rapidly evolving outbreak. So, everyone needs to be careful out there. Stay safe, you know, eat your veggies and, you know, just take care of yourself. I am going on a quick break, but when I come back, I will be talking about breakfast foods that aren't healthy for you and love, if you're in love or not. So don't go away. You're listening to Sweet Juicy Talk on radio.dominican.edu.
Yeah. Just waking up in the morning and to be well. Quite honest with you, I ain't really sleep well. You ever feel like your train of thought's been derailed? That's when you press on, lean in. Half the population just waiting to see me fail. Yeah, right, you better off trying to freeze hell. Some of us do it for the females, and others do it for the retail. What I do it for the kids, life through the tower in on. Every time you fall, it's only making your chin strong. And I'll be in your corner like Mick, baby, till the end. And when you hear me strong from that big lady, until the referee rings the bell, until both your eyes start to swell, until the crowd goes home, what we gon' do, y'all?
Give them hell.
Louisville, nothing town. Textbook version of a kid going nowhere fast. And now I'm yelling, kiss my ass. It's gonna take a couple right hooks, a few left jabs, for you to recognize you really ain't got it bad. Until the referee rings the bell, until both your eyes start to swell, until the crowd goes home, what we gonna do, y'all?
Oh, yourself up off the floor. And when your bones can't take no more, just remember what you're here for. Cause I know I'm a damn sure.
Give him hell.
They say life is a battlefield, I say bring it on. If you wanna know how I feel.
Welcome back with me, DJ Sugar, on Sweet GC Talk, radio.dominican.edu. Just wrapped up talking about floral jeans and what's in, and yeah, they're definitely in. I have a quick PSA about the Richardson Bay Audubon Center and Sanctuary. So staff at the Richardson Bay and Sanctuary are reminding the community that sanctuary waters are closed to all boat traffic and in-water activities, including kayaks and paddle boards, from October 1st through March 31st. The closure protects tens of thousands of migratory ducks, geese, and shorebirds that use the bay for refueling on their southward travels or while they overwinter right here in on Richardson Bay. We are grateful, quote, "We are grateful for the community support and understanding regarding the importance of protecting this habitat," said Carrie Wilcox, the center's sanctuary manager. As the summer winds down and migratory birds start to make their way into the Bay Area, we want to spread the word that the closure is just around the corner. With the herring spawn successes of the last couple years, the number of birds in the sanctuary is expected to be high and is especially important to avoid disturbing them while they feed and rest. Over winter, health can be especially important factor in determining reproductive success for these birds during the following summer. The annual closure is mandated by an ordinance of the Richardson Bay Regional Agency. Approximately 900 acres of bay waters are covered by the ordinance, extending south from the edge of the Cove housing complex to the tip of Strawberry Point, east to Belvedere, and north to Blackie's Pasture. Audubon manages this area as a wildlife sanctuary focused on the water birds using the bay. The sanctuary boundaries are designated by buoys and permanent marked pillings. No boats or watercraft, including non-motorized boats such as kayaks, canoes, paddleboards, and sailboats, are allowed within the sanctuary waters during this critical season for migratory birds. The Richardson Bay Audubon Center and Sanctuary is located on the edge of the San Francisco Bay in Northern California, primarily a sanctuary providing habitat for migratory water birds and other wildlife. It also involves the community through education, conservation, and restoration programs. More information is available at richardsonbay.audubon.org, and I will post that link to my blog. You can also check that out on sweetjuicy.blogspot.com. I'll definitely get you the direct link by the end of the show. So moving on to food. I'm actually hungry right now. I can't wait to have my pasta that I made this morning for dinner. But this is the 18 worst breakfast. And as college students, adults, you know, we're always on the go, just buying what we can find quick at Starbucks, McDonald's, where else? I guess Jamba Juice, Pete's, Panera, wherever you can just get quick breakfast instead of just making it on your own. The first worst breakfast, is the Starbucks Blueberry Scone. I've actually had that before. It's 460 calories, 22 grams of fat, 422 milligrams of sodium, and 61 grams of carbohydrates. So just because this scone has blueberries doesn't mean it's healthy. In fact, it says scones and other quick breads come loaded with so much butter and cream that their saturated fat counts are anything but. Here, this light morning snack accounts for more than half of your day's suggested saturated fat intake. So instead, you should eat Starbucks egg white spinach and feta wrap with venti non-fat cappuccino, which is good because you get a wrap and a cup and a drink instead of just a scone. And to get that wrap and non-fat drink is only 390 calories, which is pretty good. Next is, let's see, Panera grilled bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich, which sounds bomb right now. Sounds so good because I love bacon. It's really good. This sandwich is 510 calories, 25 grams of fat, 1,170 milligrams of sodium, 43 grams of carbohydrates. So even with the fatty strips of bacon, this sandwich shouldn't be that bad. But what's wrong with it? Like, why is it a bad sandwich? Why is it unhealthy? It's the bread. Besides the power sandwich, all of Panera's breakfast sandwiches come on either thick pieces of ciabatta or doughy bagels. This can add anywhere from 230 to 350 calories per sandwich. Compare that with the relatively modest 150 calories provided by the power sandwiches, whole grain, mish, and the choice is clear. So yeah, bread does add a lot of calories, especially carbohydrates. You know, it just adds more to it. So instead, you should have Panera Bread breakfast power sandwich with an apple. 420 calories. It's definitely 100 calories less than the bacon sandwich. And it comes with an apple. Hey, that's good too. It's healthy. Next is Dunkin' Donuts sesame bagel with reduced... It's Dunkin' Donuts sesame bagel with reduced fat strawberry cream cheese spread. Number one, this does not sound appetizing. I don't like sesame bagels. The bagels that I like are just either plain or with Asiago cheese on it, like cheesy bagel when you toast it and it's melted. Delicious. And just whipped cream cheese. I love cream cheese that is whipped. I mean, normal cream cheese is good, but whipped is better. But the worst of it all is either the strawberry cream cheese or the garlic onion one, whatever, like these weird ones. And it's just like, can we just stick to normal cream cheese? Like, it's the best. But yes, this sesame bagel with strawberry cream cheese is not good. Basically, it's the cream cheese. It's just, it's a 510 calories, 16 grams of fat, and 860 milligrams of sodium and 78 grams of carbohydrates. So instead, you should just try the Dunkin' Donuts egg white turkey sausage wake up wraps. Two, you can get two and a medium coffee, and it's only 300 calories. And the thing with bagel is it's just packed with so much carbohydrates and fat, whatever you put in it. I mean, when I have bagels, I either just put cream cheese or I make like an actual sandwich, like I put scrambled eggs and ham. Good stuff right there. The next is Arby's ham, egg, and cheese wrap. The funny thing is there is no Dunkin' Donuts around here and there's no Arby's around here. I know there's a Panera out in Northgate and Starbucks is like every corner. But yeah. Next is Arby's ham and egg and cheese wrap. 520 calories, 24 grams of fat, and 1,900 milligrams of sodium. So ham, egg, and cheese are like the best combo you can order at a restaurant. It's a good combo for breakfast in general. But the problem is how it's delivered, they say. Besides for being high in calories, wraps also act as a sort of a camouflage. While you think you're eating healthy, the restaurant has actually used the wrap to hide an excess of ingredients and sodium, which is definitely true. They just wrap it up and... But it's good, though. It's really good. So instead, you should have Arby's ham, egg, and cheese sourdough and coffee. That doesn't even make any sense. Oh, well. I guess I can... I don't understand, though, why you can order a wrap versus sourdough. Maybe the wrap has more calories than sourdough. I don't know. That's weird. Whatever. The next is Jamba Juice Mango A-Go-Go. Once it pops up, it's, yeah, Jamba Juice Mango A-Go-Go, 32 ounce. So you may think like Mango A-Go-Go or the Mango Mantra sounds really good for breakfast, but the latter is built on a base of pineapple sherbet, which means it's a milkshake. Instead, opt for a power size, all fruit mantra, and then add a whey boost. You'll end up with 5 times the protein and still save 210 calories. And that's the thing that kills it is the sherbet that they put in Jamba Juice. Like, it's not all fruit. Like, they add that yogurt or sherbet to it, which, you know, adds more calories to it. So instead, like they said, try the Jamba Juice Mango Mantra Jamba Light Smoothie, the 20 ounce with whey protein boost, and it's 400 calories versus if you get the Mango A-Go-Go, which is 32, you get 550 calories. If you're just tuning in, you are listening to Sweet Juicy Talk with me, DJ Sugar, on radio.dominican.edu. I'm talking about the 18 worst breakfasts, especially if you're on the go. These are the breakfast food that you should skip, and there's always an alternative. And the next is a Burger King sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit sandwich, which sounds so bomb right now. Oh my god, I am starving. And just talking about this, and actually there's pictures here. Some of the pictures actually look delicious. Like, I wish I can just grab it and just eat it right now, but I can't. But the reason why, it's loaded with 11 grams of saturated fat. Burger King's biscuits should be avoided at all cost. As for trans fat, it appears that the King likes to use partially hydrogenated oils when making these 250-calorie doughy disasters. And, yeah, not healthy. But instead, you should try the Burger King ham, egg, and cheese croissant-witch. That's the first time I've heard croissant-witch. I've never heard of that. It's actually pretty funny. I think that's what I'm going to call, like, whenever I make croissants now. I'm going to make a croissant-witch. But it's 350 calories, and it's definitely 100 calories less. But it sounds so good right now. Oh, my God. You don't even know. The next is a Sonic croissant breakfast sandwich with these sausage. These names are just killing it right now. It's 650 calories, 51 grams of fat, 1,350 milligrams of sodium, and 28 grams of carbohydrates. By simply switching to ham, you can shave 150 calories and 8 grams of saturated fat from your meal. Make a swap like that every day, and you can lose 1 pound roughly every 23 days. Wow. Just switch to ham. Okay, all right. But the thing is, I eat ham. I don't have sausage. That's only on, like, really good days when I just want to eat out. But so you should definitely switch to a Sonic bacon, egg, and cheese breakfast burrito with coffee. With coffee. And that's 470 calories, which is way better than 650 calories. The next is Smoothie King Peanut Power Plus Strawberry. I don't know what I think of this. I really don't. It's 699 calories. And so we all know that smoothies aren't created equally because there's different types of, you know, fruits, what you put in it and whatnot. But at Smoothie King, the wrong decision could land you something closer to a milkshake than a smoothie. With 94 grams of sugar, dang, a smoothie should not even have sugar. Well, it should. Maybe natural sugar, but not like sugar. This fruity concoction has more of the sweet stuff than 10 Krispy Kreme original glazed donuts. Dang. And those donuts are super sweet, super sugary. They get you all hyped up. And if you buy this Smoothie King Peanut Power Plus Strawberry, you're in deep doo-doo. That's crazy amount of sugar. And so instead, you can try the Smoothie King High Protein Pineapple. It doesn't say how many grams of sugar there are, but it's 320 calories, which is definitely half of this Smoothie King Peanut Power Plus Strawberry. So watch out for that. Plus, it doesn't even sound appetizing to me right now. The next is McDonald's sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddle. It sounds bomb right now. Oh my God, you don't even know. I'm so hungry. But this McGriddle is 560 calories, 32 grams of fat, 1,360 milligrams of sodium, and 48 grams of carbohydrates. And this McGriddle is the perfect example of what can go wrong when you pick up quick and easy breakfast. For its modest size, it packs way too many calories while also providing 60% of your day's saturated fat and over half of your recommended daily intake of sodium. The old mantra holds true. Big things really do come in small packages. Hey, that's true. And I don't know, in anything. But when it comes to food, it's true. So instead, you should switch to a McDonald's sausage burrito with McCafe non-fat cappuccino. That doesn't sound too appetizing. I'm not a fan of like breakfast burritos, but that McGriddle, there's a picture of it right now, and oh man, I'm dying. I'm slowly dying right now. So that's it for worst breakfasts and what to pick up and what you should pick up, like, as an alternative. And last segment is the relationship. It's weird how we can switch from food to relationship. Because I sometimes feel like I'm in a relationship with food because I love food that much. Like, I love it. And I love trying new places. Hopefully this weekend I can try somewhere new and I'll let you guys know if it's good or not. But moving on, from Cosmopolitan, an article called "Am I in Love? Maybe." Because we've heard of, you know, a lot of celebrities like, you know, Taylor Swift, Kim Kardashian, you know, saying, "Oh, I'm in love," you know, so they get married. Well, Taylor Swift didn't get married, but Taylor Swift is always in a relationship. She thinks it's always love. And Kim Kardashian, you know, gets married because she thinks she's in love, but gets divorced in 72 days. Like, no. Anyways, so how do you know if you're really in love? And I've been in the experience of, I would actually say I have been in love. And with, we're not together anymore, but with, obviously with the guy, I'm not with him anymore, but I still love him. I'll always have love for him. I'll still care for him. And I think now it's just, maybe it's a different kind of, the different kind of love than I had before. Like, being in love and loving someone is different. So I guess the first reason, or I guess if you think you're in love, is you're invested in his happiness. So we're not just talking about, you know, rooting for his favorite football team on Sunday. You're really in love when you're willing to put his happiness above your own, like skipping a concert that you really wanted to see to stay home and help him get over a bad day. And, you know, I've actually been in that position before. And, you know, I can say, you know, my ex was in that position as well, where, you know, we dropped a lot of things or a lot of our plans, you know, to be with that one person because we love them. You know, it's sacrifice. Next is, you want him to branch out. That means you want him to find his own challenges and grow as a person. If you just want him to stay the same and not have any cool adventures that might not involve you, it's not love. And I've been in that position as well. And it was actually, you know, a sad part, just because I let the person that I love go because I wanted us to be happy. And I wanted him, you know, to grow as a person. I just feel like sometimes when you're in a relationship, you're not able to branch out because you're just stuck with that one person and you just want them to stay the same and you don't want them to see what else is out there. Not like, you know, looking for anybody else, but finding out who they are. And with, you know, my ex and I, you know, we were young and we were dating we went out for, I would say, 2 years. And so we were young and we're at that age where we're still discovering ourselves, finding out who we are. And sometimes being in a relationship stops that. And so I think that's what I had to do with my ex. Next is, you're cool with your differences. Sure, he's a horrible dresser or could use some kissing tips. Obviously, you'll want to tweak that. But if you're okay knowing that he's obsessed with Jay-Z music and you're more indie, or that you have different political views and you and can look beyond it, that's love. And that's true. Like, I feel like I've definitely been in this position. Like, with my ex and I, like, you know, we were different people. We had similar, and we had common things in common, but, like, you know, that we had arguments of, like, you know, our views politically or the way, you know, we are worked out, but we worked beyond it. You know, sometimes we had our fights. Next is, you can admit your shortcomings. We know it sucks to acknowledge that you have a weak area or two, but if you can admit them to your guy and actually want to work on them, by starting to be on time for things, picking your battles, etc., you're clearly invested in a future with him. Sometimes, you know, that is true. It's hard though, like, that it's hard to change and to work on certain things that you're so used to. But if you work on it for him, then, you know, obviously the relationship will only get better. Next is, and can live with his. Everybody has less than desirable qualities. You're definitely in love if you can accept that he'll be grumpy after his team loses a game, or know that he sometimes loses his cool over minor stuff, provided he's willing to work on it. You know, and that's, I feel like I've definitely been like in this position before. You know, I've accepted, you know, when my ex, you know, was angry, when he was just having a really frustrating day from school, work, and you just have to be with him at the end of the day, just be there for him, really. Next is, you're into all of him. In the beginning of a relationship, you're almost always crazy hot for each other, but if you're just as hot for him, even after you know about his weird foot rash, that's a good sign. And, you know, it's all about being comfortable. You know, in the beginning of a relationship, you're always like, you know, it's always lovey-dovey and full of surprises. You know, you're head over heels. And then maybe like a year later, you're still in love with him, even with his like weirdness, his quirkiness. You just get comfortable and yet you still love him. And I was the same with my ex. And next is, you could see yourself having his kids. Not everyone wants to have kids, and we get that. If you have thought about having a family someday and suddenly find yourself thinking about what your kids would look like with him or how he'd be as a father, you're definitely hooked. And I've definitely pictured myself having kids with, you know, my ex. So I definitely know what it feels like to be in love. It's actually, you know, there's always more to it than, you know, what this article is about. It's about sacrifice. You know, it's about connection and just working on things. But yeah. So it's actually weird, you know, talking about him again. But, you know, I'm not mad or bitter about it anymore. You know, it is what it is. You know, things happen. So I've actually went over my show a little bit. But if you want to listen, it's Thursdays, 4:30 to 5:30 here on radio.dominican.edu. Sweet Juicy Talk with me, DJ Sugar. Also, don't forget to tune in tomorrow, Friday, onto Penguin Pass at 12:30 on just radio.dominican.edu, and I will be your host. It's my turn to be the host. Last week, I was the engineer. So don't forget, and everyone have a good day.
Change of seasons to make your heart melt like Reese's Pieces. Always going left, trying to make it right. I don't want to be for a stay tonight. Hand me the check and I'll pay the